I'd like to reconvene the February 2012 meeting of the Marine Resources Commission. Next item on the agenda is Tim McCulloch, item number 2011-088. Mr. Stagg, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. This is an application by Tim McCulloch. He's requested to lease up to 27 acres of oyster planting ground within the thoroughfare section, as it's known, in York County. The application has been protested by an adjacent oyster ground leaseholder, and he's also an adjacent property owner, Greg and Elizabeth Garrett. They have also applied for some of the same area that Mr. McCulloch applied for as part of their objection in their application numbers 2011-117. That said, again, we're in the Dandy section of York County. This is the York River. This area is known as the thoroughfare going into Back Creek. And Back Creek. This is the highlighted area is the application of Mr. McCulloch. And we'll zoom in a little closer so you can get a little better detail in just a second. This is another orientation photograph that I'll enhance with some additional information in a moment. But, again, the area that you saw just a minute ago that was applied for is generally this area right in here and a portion of this cove area, and I'll refer to that as the cove during my presentation. Mr. McCulloch resides here in a residential parcel and also owns this adjacent parcel, which is zoned commercial. The protestants, Mr. and Ms. Garrett, live on this spit and share the cove with Mr. McCulloch. This pier and this pier are Garrett's pier, and this pier and boathouse are Mr. McCulloch's. And then this is really kind of an old marina site, and there are some boats and some structure here, and there's a bulkhead here. Now I've placed the existing oyster ground and the proposed lease area on the map. Again, this is the area applied for Mr. McCulloch. It follows sort of the western side of the channel going out to thoroughfare. This is an existing lease of Mr. Garrett, Mr. and Ms. Garrett, and this is also a lease that the Garretts have, which encumbers about this one half of the cove area. On August 8th, we did receive an application from Mr. McCulloch. As I noted, he does live adjacent to the applied for area and owns a commercial parcel. He also filled out the oyster use plan that we require of all oyster ground leaseholders and indicated that if he got this ground, he proposed to use on-bottom aquaculture, cage aquaculture, at least starting off with cages no more than 12 inches, which would be allowed on leased ground with no additional permitting. At the same time he applied for this lease, he applied also for a riparian oyster lease as a riparian owner along tidal waters. He is entitled. He owned enough frontage. This is the area. His parcel actually fronts on both the thoroughfare side, the cove, and the York River, and he chose to place his riparian this location, half acre. That has been surveyed and assigned. There was no objection to that from either of his adjoining property owners, and that has been completed. We did subject the regular lease application to our regular public interest review, which by code requires a newspaper ad once a week for 4 weeks and posting in the two prominent places in the local area. Soon after that process began, we did receive a phone call from Mr. Garrett in indicating he had some concerns with the McCulloch application, and then we subsequently met with Mr. Garrett in the office here on October the 19th to discuss those concerns. And during that meeting, Mr. Garrett verbally noted his concerns to the proposed McCulloch lease, one of which is that it would surround his existing lease and, if approved as proposed, would block him from being able to apply for additional ground and expand his ongoing aquaculture operations on his existing leases. Further stated, he had also concerns about leasing any additional portion of the cove area, which borders both his and McCulloch's property, and he expressed concerns that a previously dredged channel, which comes out of the cove, fronts in front of the McCulloch property, and it goes out to the thoroughfare, could be adversely impacted by cage aquaculture or any type of aquaculture should the area need future dredging. We go back to this photograph again. As you can see, there is a channel going out to the thoroughfare, and this area has obviously been dredged. It's much deeper than any of the surrounding land around it, Sebaco's land. Mr. McCulloch did have that dredged in the past. Mr. Garrett also requested and was provided with some additional maps showing other areas in the vicinity that were vacant that could be applied for in lieu of the area Mr. McCulloch applied for. At that meeting, Mr. Garrett also indicated he would be submitting an application for somewhere around 10 to 11 acres of some of the same area that had been applied for by Mr. McCulloch, and that he intended to officially object to that same area of the McCulloch application, as well as portions of the cove area and the channel area that I already had noted. On November 3rd, 2011, we did receive an application from Mr. Garrett requesting to lease up to 10.5 acres of ground to match the areas that he had discussed in the office. That would be this area right here, which is over top of part of the McCulloch application. And I'll refer to this map a little more in a moment. We also received an email of protest of the McCulloch application from Mr. Garrett. That was dated November 7th. Mr. Garrett was contacted, noting that the application he submitted to us was for both himself and his wife, but only he had signed the application. We returned the original application to him for proper signatures, and it was eventually returned to our office with both signatures on December the 21st of last year, and we proceeded with our public interest review for that application as well to run the advertising for it. Mr. McCulloch's application was surveyed on December the 20th of 2011, and the plat was approved by me, the chief engineer, on January the 4th. And what that means when it says approved, the code basically says once the survey is done and the plat submitted to the chief engineer, I approve that area as leasable, and we have to wait 30 days pursuant to the code before we can assign the ground. So it doesn't mean that I approved it without y'all's permission because it was protested, but that's just the way the code's written. So we had to wait an additional 30 days after I deemed the plat approvable, which is why we couldn't really get on the January agenda. I had to wait that full 30 days before we scheduled it, and we already had a protest on it from Garrett. We have received no other protest other than the protest from Mr. Garrett.
So, and as the chief engineer, are you a licensed surveyor in the Commonwealth of Virginia?
I'm a licensed land surveyor, and I do sign all the plats in my capacity as a licensed land surveyor.
Thank you.
Now, I want to explain this map a little bit. This is where it gets a little bit confusing, and I believe Mr. Garrett will probably want to refer to some of these same depictions on this map. Now, I'm going to start out with a sort of blown out view where we're at, zoomed out pretty far. Again, the McCulloch application is both the area that's two colors here. Basically, it comes down the thoroughfare, goes back over, comes up through here, and goes into the cove. It requests to lease the remaining portion of the cove that's not currently leased, and comes back out, wraps around the Garrett lease, and back to the beginning. During the meeting with Mr. Garrett in the office, we sat down together and we created some maps that, for his benefit based on things he wanted to show, I believe, to bolster his concerns. The other areas you see, the other color, this one and this and some of the cove are areas that, well, not the cove, these two areas are areas that Garrett noted there are other areas that currently aren't assigned and are available, and that perhaps these would be better areas, or he would prefer these areas be applied for on McCulloch than so close to his existing lease. So I'm going to zoom in a little. It cuts off a part of this, but this is not real germane to the to the actual discussion about this part. We actually came up with acreages of what was available. So this big area down here is almost 120 acres of unleased ground that could be applied for. This area is a 7-acre piece. And then these are broken up. This is basically what Mr. Garrett applied for. So that's the 9.75 acres. And then there'd be about 10 and a half acres left here and about 2.5 acres left in this little sliver. The reason this is excluded is, per Mr. Garrett, his concern is that we should not lease this channel. This is a private channel. It's not a federal channel. It's not a government-maintained channel. Because it is the channel for ingress and egress into the cove area, which, of course, would split Mr. McCulloch's application into two parcels, and this one being very narrow. Same concerns about the cove from Mr. Garrett, which is why he said he didn't really object to Mr. McCulloch getting this little triangle as part of his application, but he objected to the throat going in and this northern triangle of the cove as well. So hopefully that explains what Mr. Garrett sort of noted in his meeting with me of his concerns. He is concerned that this wraps around his lease, as I stated, and would exclude him from expanding should he want to lease additional ground. We try to look at all of the concerns, and you can see Mr. Garrett's email, which does kind of list his concerns in the packet, but I think I've kind of covered those. And I'm going to try to cover those now in the issue section of your evaluation and try to address each one. We did denote that Mr. Garrett objected to Mr. McCulloch's lease, including his question of the validity of leasing the cove due to health department restrictions on harvest in this area. That little cove area has historically been closed at times for direct consumption or market of shellfish. As you can see, it doesn't flush a whole lot. The opening is very narrow, but it is open sometimes as well. So he questioned whether it was, in the best interest to lease that area. I would note that we lease areas in conditionally closed areas all the time and allow for relay. And certainly if Mr. McCulloch got this lease, he would have the area outside the cove that he could relay anything that was in the cove should he want to do that for depuration. The outside area has remained open pretty much all the time, area in the thoroughfare. I don't recall any recent closures other than the cove itself. It seems reasonable to us that since these are the two riparian owners adjacent to the cove, and that Mr. Garrett already has a lease that basically encumbers half the cove, that it would seem reasonable that the other property owner on the other side of the cove should be allowed to lease the other half of the cove. Additionally, the concern was that this channel area coming out of the cove and through out to the thoroughfare itself should not be leased due to the indication from Mr. McCulloch that he would be doing cage aquaculture. However, we believe, according to our current on-bottom regulation, it does restrict placement of cages that would adversely impact navigation. And it also seems that should Mr. McCulloch get this lease and use it for the purposes which he's noted he intends, which is cage aquaculture and use this property, that it would be in his interest to leave this channel open as well, because that's his ingress and egress as well, not only to the commercial property, but to his boathouse inside the cove. Additionally, while the McCulloch application does border and wrap around the larger Garrett lease, it's outside the sandbox. This area is also known as the sandbox area. It wraps around this point of the Garrett residence. It would appear, and it borders on the Garrett lease, this area has been vacant for years, and Mr. Garrett has not applied for it. It's been open for application for quite some time. And he has not applied in the past. He does have an aquaculture operation currently ongoing at his property, but we believe the current lease he has would allow for considerable expansion over what he's currently doing when you combine both the offshore lease around the point and the cove lease. And there are other vacant areas. We'll concede that. which is shown here. But again, it would seem logical that with a residence nearby and a commercial property that is being proposed to be used in conjunction with the leased ground, that you would want to apply for the ground closest to that property, and that ground is further away that you can't monitor as well. And there are residential properties, albeit offset from the shore down to the south, but there are definitely residential properties here which, you know, may have more concerns for applications in these two areas. You know, the only properties that are really directly in front of the application is McCulloch and Garrett for what's being applied for. I did put on your desk, and you probably saw it, the blue sheet. Everybody got a copy. That was an email from Mr. McCulloch that we received yesterday, so it was too late to get in your packet. Starting on page 2 of that, the first page is basically some correspondence from us acknowledging we received it. Is a letter to you from Mr. McCulloch. I believe that he's going to probably use that sort of as his template when he gets up and talks, but I think that kind of states his position. There has been some offers made by Mr. Garrett to meet with Mr. McCulloch, and you will note that in some of the email correspondence since last November. And it included a final attempt just a couple of weeks ago from Mr. Garrett to meet with Mr. McCulloch. The final email correspondence in your packet, not this letter I just mentioned, addresses Mr. McCulloch's response back to Mr. Garrett and to us as to why he believes that a meeting would not be of any fruitful nature, and that he preferred to just come to the commission and have the matter heard and decided at this level. Having said that, I'll go to my summary and recommendation. Mr. McCulloch clearly submitted his application well in advance of any competing application to Mr. Garrett. The Code of Virginia does state that we treat applications in the order in which they are received. Therefore, we believe for the current pending application of Mr. McCulloch, it is appropriate for the Commission to act on that application as it was received first before we can take any subsequent action on the competing Garrett application beyond where we are now with that, which is just the advertising stage. We have done no survey work on the Garrett application. We believe that would be confusing to the public to stick up the McCulloch application and then stick up stakes inside of it with the Garrett application. We believe the McCulloch application needs to be addressed first before any action can be further action. So we have withheld any further surveying on Mr. Garrett's application. He was informed of that. Saying that, we believe that Mr. Garrett does have two existing leases and therefore has area to expand his current ongoing operation. He does have a lease in the cove, which takes up about half the cove, and it would seem appropriate for the other riparian owner of the cove to be able to lease the other side of the cove. The channel area at the mouth of the cove and the previous dredge channel out to the thoroughfare have actually been previously maintained by Mr. McCulloch, and the places of cages in these areas would be precluded by our current regulations if they caused any adverse impact to navigation. Therefore, staff does not believe the concerns raised by Mr. Garrett warrant any alteration to the area applied for by Mr. McCulloch, and we thereby recommend approval of the lease as requested and as surveyed. The actual plat copies in your packet. It came out to be almost exactly the acreage that he applied for. Get back to where I am. Should the commission, however, deem that not to approve the McCulloch application in its entirety as recommended by staff, and does alter that figure, and some of the area that you were to remove from that application would be some of the area that Mr. Garrett applied for over top of it, that more green area there, we would then proceed with the public interest review and surveying of that. However, if you approve McCulloch application as submitted and as surveyed, there would be no ground available left in the Garrett application, and we would just void that application because there would be no ground left. We would note that should you alter staff's recommendation and make some ground available for the Garrett application, that we would still need to survey that application, and it could very well get protested during that waiting period after I approve the plat, and we could very likely be back here again addressing some of the same issues. But we would recommend that you just lease the entire area to McCullough based on his prior application, proximity to his property, and we don't believe that, you know, he would encumber the channel, and if he did, we would take action to preclude that. Happy to answer.
Thank you, Ben. Questions of Mr. Stagg by members of the commission. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Stagg, there's a small triangle there inside the sandbox in the basin. Does that have any bearing at all on the egress out of the sandbox? I mean, the channel comes in.
Yeah, this is a little blurry because we blew it in, but there's a jetty here that's been built. And let me go back to this photograph. As you can see, sand is migrating around this point and has for quite some time. There was a wooden jetty installed here to attempt to address the problem that basically this thing wants to seal itself back off here because of the migration of sand. The previous dredging, it's my understanding, to keep this open basically was done by Mr. McCullough. As you can see, that is the jetty right there. So the sand has now actually breached and gone around the end of the jetty and is still trying to migrate into that area.
I'm just curious if that triangle that's proposed bears on the ingress and egress out of the sandbox. That's all. So it's up, ended up in the upper left-hand corner.
Say that the reason you saw this area excluded, and it's hard to see in that.
Let's be careful about what Mr. Garrett, in all due respect, what Mr. Garrett may say.
Well, I'll tell you what he did say.
That's fine.
That's what this drawing is based on, is that he had concerns about any of the channel being leased because of potential issues with keeping this open to access his pier inside the, which is why he included, you can see this is basically included in an area that he wishes we would not lease to McCullough. And this he says is okay, but it is cut off completely right here. It's not connected to these other areas that he doesn't object to. So I know it's a little complicated right in that little narrow spot, and I'll let him address specifically, you know, his concerns. But that was the basis of this drawing. This was done at his request, these drawings.
Further questions to Mr. Stagg? Mr. Palmer?
When did Mr. Garrett get his original oyster leases, where he had the half of the cove and the piece around it?
He may be able to answer that better than me. I could certainly research that, but I know he had the, I believe he obtained them from the previous owner of the Highland property who had those leases prior. And when he bought the property, he got the leases transferred to him as well, but I believe he's had them at least 10 years, I think. Somewhere in that time.
Further questions? Thank you, Ben. Is the applicant present or represented, Mr. McCullough? Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Would you raise your right hand? Solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
You state your name for the record, please.
Mr. McCullough.
Thank you, sir. Proceed, please.
I might be able to clarify some things for you with some pictures I've got. And I'd step forward and give you all a folder for everybody.
Okay. Are these part, where's Ben? Are they part of the record? Have you seen this? Or?
I got them for you, but I have not. But these are basically just a little more clear pictures of these aerials and so on.
Okay.
Actually, I have seen, I think, he was in my office. I might have seen one or two of them.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got a folder for everybody.
With handling these to Kathy, too, if you would for me, please. Thank you.
And I've got the pictures themselves are numbered so that we can follow along with each other and you can ask some questions as we move forward. The first thing I've got may look a little cheesy. It's a quote that I put on, but basically I bought my house in 1997, so I've seen a lot of history with this property. The important thing with my lease is my commercial upland property. And so there's been a history going back to Johnny Belvin building boats there, failed marinas, et cetera, and I've improved the property significantly. So that's why I've got the quote in there, basically, plan for failure. The next is my logo that's a work in progress, the Goodwin Island Oyster Company. I have set that company up. I am dead serious about doing large-scale oyster aquaculture. The Goodwin Island Oyster Company obviously gets its name because where I'll be growing my oysters, if you approve my lease, will be between that with those waters between Goodwin Island and the mainland. I was out with Mr. Butler when he did the surveying. We made sure that we stayed well off the channel so that we would not impede. And, of course, that channel is really no longer a supported channel by the Coast Guard. They've pulled their marks and so on.
Okay.
If we look at the first aerial view, that's Dandy. You can see this is from the FB 1190 stakeholder panel that I sat on. So that's really kind of what got me very excited about aquaculture. And you get a good view of the entire shoreline, including the dredge basin, the channel out, the cove, my house, and so on up there in the left corner of the picture there. If you go to the next picture, too, then you have a very clear depiction of my properties and also Mr. Garrett's. Now, what I'd like to do is just spend a minute on this because if you saw this boatyard when I acquired it and after Isabel, it was a decimated mess. And so all the money and all the time and all the labor that has been put into dredging, stabilizing shorelines, living shorelines, bulkheading, et cetera, has been incurred by me and by me alone. And if you go to where this entrance is into the cove, those freestanding marsh toe sills that Mr. Stagg referred to, I constructed those. I built those to try to hold the channel from collapsing. In fact, when I had the permit, it was originally with Doug Volts, who was the previous owner of Mr. Garrett's property, and it was a joint permit. And when Mr. Garrett bought the property, I asked him if he wanted to participate. He did not. So I had to come back to the BMRC and get my permit changed to be in my name only, which I did, and continued on with the dredging. Once you leave that basin and once you go anywhere else in that channel, you've got basically 1 foot of water at mean low tide. So that is the impedance to navigation, period. If you move on to number three, the next picture, there's the same view, except you see my properties outlined in yellow. So that yellow shading shows all of my property, my house and my residence to the north, and then the commercial property to the south, which is about, you know, in excess of 3 acres and about 500 feet of shoreline. If you look at that little square that's excluded there, that's not in the shading, those are residences. They are still zoned WCI. But what I want to draw your attention to on that is if you follow that property line that's at the north end of that little parallelogram there and carry that all the way out to the shoreline, that's actually the border between the residential property and my commercial property. And the reason I bring that up is after Isabel took out all my Leland cypress trees and the big fence that I had there. My wife wanted me to put a dog leg in that fence so she had a better view out into the water. So that fence and those trees you see don't really follow the property line. And you'll see that better in another picture in a minute. But my riparian rights, if you were to extend that property line, just really parallels that wetlands area there that Mr. Garrett refers to usually as a nature island. So at any rate, you can see that I've got plenty of extra room. Now, this stuff that you see, all this equipment that's been stacked up and so on, that's all been moved out as I'm getting prepared for doing this aquaculture. And it's just an excellent, excellent site as an upland. The next picture, number four, is a photograph that was actually given to me by Tracy West back in the day from the BMRC. And this shows a good view of my residence and the commercial property. There I've got my tugboat and my barge. We're doing the dredging. You can see the dredge basin. You can see where we've stopped at the dredge basin, so this is a work in progress. We haven't even built the other marsh toe sill that protected the cove entrance and so on. And the channel going out was getting started there. What I wanted to bring your attention to as well is the other three property owners that share this channel. There's only three others besides myself and Mr. Garrett. The Betas, the Hogs, and the Wildmans, they all participated in dredging with me. And, you know, they've all got small fishing boats, small recreational boats. So I feel like any concerns with regard to navigation, number one, I'm not going to impede navigation. I need it myself. But, I mean, it is, I know it's your bottom. I mean, I know that is yours, but I did pay you a royalty for that dredge, and, you know, I feel like it's mine as well. So I'm not going to do anything to restrict that. Now, if we move on to photograph number 5, there you're seeing pictures. I just took these yesterday, believe it or not, with my phone and just emailed them to myself and printed them. These are of the upland of my commercial property. That building to the left there is about 150,000 cubic feet with 8,000 square feet of floor space. I've got a big loft in there, which helps me add to the floor space. I've got a residence there that's close to 2,800 square feet, and then what was a ship store down below. That residence will be a perfect location for a full-time on-site farm manager and his family, and the ship store will be converted over to a retail facility and a tasting house. And if we move on to 6, you can see that I've got another view of the upland and the building, this time looking out to the water. And then 7, this is a pretty good picture to get a perspective on my property, and Mr. Garrett's as well, for that matter. Looking at the buildings, at my house, to the left of the building, that blue water you see out there is York River. To the right, the house there, off in a distance with all those trailers and stuff, that's Mr. Garrett's house. And then these piles are piles that I put in my dredge basin that will be very helpful with regard to me doing cage culture in the water column there in that basin, which I know I need to get another permit for, but we've got some very unique, interesting ideas on how to facilitate that. Moving to number 9, this picture really shows a good picture of the oyster grounds that I'm asking for. And not to correct Mr. Stagg, but that entire area along the shoreline, as well as the cove, has been condemned in the past. That condemnation was just lifted last April. And that is really what got me thinking about, you know, doing the aquaculture business, because the entire time I've lived there, just about, it's always been at least seasonally condemned, not just the cove, but actually that entire basin area offshore from my commercial property. Those condemnations have been lifted, and they may well come back again because they've been in place for years. So obviously I do have a concern about relay, and the waters between Goodwin Island and the mainland are excellent waters for relay. It's a good bottom, and the water moves fast there. It's clean, and those waters have never, ever been condemned. So I feel that's pretty good security. With regard to me potentially moving my lease grounds, I looked at those leases last summer when I started evaluating this, and the first thing that hit me was I'm going to have a lot of neighbors in Dandy that aren't going to be very happy. I mean, they may be doing some aquaculture with their peers and so on, but they're not doing commercial aquaculture. And so I just didn't think that was appropriate. Plus, the further south you go, the closer you get to the Seaford Scallop Company, the closer you get to Back Creek, which is a great creek, but let's face it, there is a sewage plant up at the other end of the creek. So I don't really want those grounds as well. So the combination of having upset neighbors, and I counted about 30-something neighbors that would have been along that area on both the north shore as well as that south shore, or what, off of those grounds that he suggests I take, I mean, they're available for him, I guess, if you'd like to take them. I guess I'll just – oh, one thing I want to make sure I address is based on who I see in the audience. The insinuation that I'm against aquaculture is flat-out ludicrous. I mean, I am absolutely against anybody that wants to break the rules, that wants to break the zoning laws, that wants to break upland land use tables. I'm against it. I mean, I'm against it today. I'll always be against it. When the laws change and the rules change, I'll adhere to the law. My properties, I've got a residential property and a commercial property, they're right next to each other. They operate under two totally different sets of rules. I've always applied those sets of rules differently to each property. All of my work for this aquaculture operation will take place on my commercial business, at my commercial property. So I sat on a stakeholder panel with Tony Watkinson, and, you know, we argued about that, but it was all about land use. So anything that anyone insinuates I'm against aquaculture is dead wrong. I've spent the past months circumnavigating the bay, speaking to growers in Maryland. I've got people from VIMS that say I've got a great site. I mean, I am so fired up about doing this. I'm going to do it in a very big way. And I'll be selling oysters to Lakey Coward. So, you know, I just... I just want to get on with it. And I'm sorry that I'm here now, but in 7 months, there's been a single protest. There's been plenty of talk about it in the neighborhood, but a single protest, and I guess with that, I'll let you ask me questions.
Good questions of Mr. McCullough. Thank you, sir. Mr. Palmer.
I was looking at that picture you showed about the dredging that you did. I noticed the dredging just goes as far as your home. Am I correct?
It goes as far as you can see the green shading.
Right.
It goes up to my house, my boathouse, out to my finger pier, and in a line from there out to the far marsh coat sill. Yes.
How does Mr. Garrett get to his property?
He waits for a high tide. I mean, he can't come and go at will. He had a boat break loose at a high tide last week that ended up under my walkway from my upland to my pier, and it was wedged up under there, and, you know, it was a couple of days before we could get it back over to his property.
So there was no dredge channel going up to his property?
None. No, sir.
And since you want to lease half of that cove, we'll assume that the half of the cove that you want to lease has no dredge channel area in it.
Some of it does.
But, I mean, going toward his property.
No, sir.
That's what I want to know. Thank you very much.
Further questions? Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one, and that is, do you have a proposal for how many cages you deploy, or a plan in terms of the scale of the operation?
I mean, I want to do millions of oysters, so, I mean, we're talking thousands of cages. In fact, what I did last month is I took 200 oysters that I collected from my shoreline, carried them to Mike Congrove at Oyster Seed Holdings in Gwynn's Island. He's conditioning them for spawn now. I've contracted for 1 million to 2 million seed. Half of that seed will be from my own brood stock. I'm branding my oysters as the Ultra Premium Dandylicious and the Yorkster and the Dandy. Sorry, but, you know, that's what I'm doing. I've heard from the Virginia Tech Extension people and the marine products people that, you know, the first thing you're going to do when you get in this business is you want to brand your product. So, you know, before I spend too much money on capital equipment, you know, I can at least get the branding and so on going. So I've gotten website domain names that I've already locked and loaded into. And I will build my own cages. I've got that great facility, and I'm ready to buy wire from Riverdale and wire benders. I've got a huge air compressor in the building already to let me run all the pneumatic equipment that I need to build my cages. And I'm going to build some different types of cages because I'm going to take advantage of that shoreline that I've got so that I can actually, you know, really roll and do things from shore that you normally would require a boat. But I'm talking thousands of cages. I mean, I'm talking about a full-blown commercial operation.
Thank you.
Further questions? Thank you, Mr. McCullough. Anyone else here in support of this project? Yes, ma'am. Come forward. Just raise your right hand. You saw me swear the testimony that you're about to give me the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I did.
Can you state your name for the record, please?
My name is Danielle McCullough. I'm the applicant's daughter, and I'm also an employee at VIMS, have been for over 6 years. Coincidentally, a lot of my work is with oysters, so when he started talking aquaculture, I was like, yeah.
Well, let me make sure of one thing. You're speaking personally, but not on behalf of them. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Thank you very much. You can proceed.
Personally, as a conservationist, I would like to go on record as being in favor for this for the applicant's current proposal. I've been witness to the efforts my father has given to apply for permits and approvals to maintain and improve his properties, both residential and commercial. I can attest that he has not only followed every rule and abided by every regulation, but he has done so in an environmentally responsible way. He's tried to maintain living shorelines, use riprap instead of bulkhead, and, of course, being from VIMS, I appreciate that. But anyway, I know if granted this lease, he will continue to work with his integrity intact, as he always has, and in an environmentally responsible way. These grounds that he has requested to use, I believe, are essential to his future and the plans that he has for aquaculture. The area he has chosen to apply for is appropriate in size for what he wants to do. I believe it's appropriate also because of its proximity to the lands that he owns. It's also appropriate because, like he said, the water is very dynamic, the ground is pretty hard, and it'd be great for oyster growth and propagation out there. And he's been told that by many experts, including a few of my colleagues at VIMS. As I said before, my father follows the rules. Any claim that he is not or has been against aquaculture is just not true, obviously. And I think it's a fabrication based on him fighting that all laws and regulations should apply to everyone. And I share that view with him. He has done his work by the book and expects others to as well, that's all. I also share his enthusiasm for aquaculture, obviously for maybe more environmental reasons than economical ones. But to me, this seems like a straightforward, routine lease request. Were it not for the Lynn protest, I feel confident we would not have had to come before you guys. But I thank you for your attention, and I hope to see the board approve his proposal. And thanks for your time.
Mrs. McCulloch, any questions of Ms. McCulloch? Mr. Plumlee.
Does Mr. Garrett have any, is he doing any oyster harvesting in that cove area that you're aware of?
I haven't seen any.
Or in the immediate area of the commercial parcel there, are you aware of any harvesting that he's doing in that section closest to the commercial parcel?
I can't honestly answer that. I don't know what he has going on.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Thank you.
I'm not sure. You can ask him.
Okay. Thank you.
Further questions? Thank you, Ms. McCullough.
Thank you.
Anyone else in support of this project? They're seeing none. Is anyone here in opposition to this project? Okay, let's see. Who's going to go first? Come forward. Mr. Garrett? Raise your right hand, sir. You solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth that serves God.
I do.
State your name for the record, please.
Greg Garrett.
Proceed, please, sir.
I'm here in an uncomfortable position. I really hate to be here as someone protesting any application or anybody's application to do something, especially something that is important to me, which is growing shellfish. I know that I'm may not look like an aquaculturist or a grower, but I or may not be dressed like one, but today, but I have an active oyster aquaculture operation, shellfish aquaculture operation going. We've been working with oysters, I guess, somewhere around 3 years, growing them, and we have been working with clams, doing our first tests with clams. We started this past summertime. I'm hemmed in as far as the expansion of my grounds on the north, which that big lease, 85, looks like it says 85.91. That big lease is the Yorktown Oil Refinery, who has a huge lease. I've contacted two different owners of that lease that work for the refinery. Apparently, they pass it from one employee to another. And I've tried to get them to give me more of that lease, to carve off a portion of that, additional portion of that of lease for me, and they won't really talk to me about it. I guess they have their own reasons for wanting to tie up those grounds. So my lease grounds cannot expand on the north because of the Yorktown Refinery's lease. If you look at the application, it then wraps my entire lease on the west, on the east, and on the south. So, you know, when I went in to talk to Ben, it was very curious, and I said, you know, why is this wrapping my entire lease? I said, we're doing this clam experiment. If we're able to be successful with clams, we're going to continue to spread the clams out to the south, spread the clams. We're already growing the clams on the east. We're growing the oysters both in the cove, the small oysters in the cove, not up to market size, but we're growing the smaller oysters and the new spat in the cove, and we're growing the oysters that are growing to market out on the north side. North being obviously the York River is that oyster lease 85.91 is going east west, so north is going right off the top of that. Mr. McCulloch and I served on two committees together in the last year about oyster aquaculture. I was put on the committee as a grower and a pro-aquaculture person. Mr. McCulloch was put on the committee as an anti-aquaculture person, someone that was against what we're doing and against what was happening in oyster aquaculture and shellfish aquaculture. When there was also another lady that was on the committee that was established by the General Assembly, and her name is Mrs. Bennett, I believe. She happens to be the one that protests when Doug McMinn, Chesapeake Bay Oyster Company, comes before you. I found out recently that she's applied for the oyster grounds as well that are adjacent to Doug McMinn's oyster grounds. So it's just interesting that the two people in opposition to oyster aquaculture on these committees, and now one of them is applying for grounds adjacent to her neighbors, and then the other one is applying for grounds that completely wrap my existing oyster grounds, which would prevent me from expanding a current existing operation where we are growing oysters. I'd like to read you some excerpts from emails that were sent during this committee process, during these two committees. One was a York County committee and one was a state committee, where Mr. McCulloch was expressing his opinion about this issue. And I think you can see for yourself, after hearing some of this, some of his opinions. Now, that doesn't mean his opinions anybody's opinions can change, but I'll share with you some of the exact quotes, and I'm just taking excerpts out of letters or emails that he's given. I'll quote, "Commercial shell fishing can be a nasty, intrusive business the moment anything leaves the water, especially when conducted in a neighborhood. That is why most successful operations are done in remote regions, and that is why conflicts have been relatively minimal to date." Another one, "I want my residential property and associated rights protected, and I expect the county to do whatever it must do to protect them. Most any homeowner who knows the facts and the situation facing us will feel similarly. There is nothing anywhere that says residential property owners must subsidize commercial operations. They are just because they're environmentally friendly or social hot buttons. Why should we be faced with having to go to court and hope and pray that a sympathetic judge will accept that a breach of performance standards has been perpetrated? It smells? No, it doesn't. It's loud? No, it isn't. It's ruined my property value? So what?" Then when addressing another oyster farmer, not me, but he was addressing another oyster farmer that was a pro-oyster farmer on the committee, he wrote, "You disagree with me and my neighbors and your neighbors and many others about the intrusiveness of aqua farming. No surprise, but by calling such disagreement ignorant is pretty stupid." In another email that he sent to the York County Board of Supervisors, which he said, "Please distribute my response far and wide," he says, speaking of me, he says, "Keeping in character, consistently hypocritical Garrett offers me best wishes in my oyster business. He knows nothing about that he knows nothing about. While protesting my application for an oyster grounds lease on an open grounds adjacent to the very same grounds in which he himself operates. All the while, this little man is petitioning to use my residential land against my will for transporting his commercial product in his trucks through our residential zone. Where is the concern over property rights now, Delegate Brenda Pogge? Are you listening? Is this reality TV? You just cannot make this stuff up. Mama didn't raise no fool. I know what a rotten oyster smells like." Then another quote, "Let's cut to the chase. The issue is simple. It's not complex. Should commercialization be allowed in a residential zone just because it is oysters or pigs or corn or soybeans or bloodworms? What about an operation whose business is junk steel or beer brewing or fish meal fertilizer production or poultry or swine processing or exotic entertainment or a sawmill operation? What makes one activity favorable or tolerable over another activity is not tolerable. What makes one tolerable over another activity not being tolerable is usually location. Junk steel operations are good for the environment because they are about recycling. No matter, would any homeowner want such an operation next door? And again, what he's proposing is really next door. I'm 300 or 400 feet away from him by water. And where I generally operate is like 600 feet away from his property land. But he's saying here that who would want this operation next door? Wouldn't we demand our county officials protect us from a person or business seeking to inject such junk commercialization into a residential zone? Then he quotes others by saying, but oysters can improve water quality and they're good for the bay, end of quote. Recycling is good for the planet too, he says, but who wants junk steel repackaged next door? Water quality in the bay is improved by oysters, he goes on to say, but in areas like coves and creeks, again, the cove and creek where he's applying for the grounds, where depth and current are not optimal, the effect on water quality can actually be negative. Now, I don't agree with that, but that's I'm just reading what he's written. Maybe Greg Garrett will also promise gunk and goo-free shellfish enclosures along with odorless oysters and noiseless motors. Just a couple of short quotes in the Virginian Pilot, or what was said here. It says, McCulloch said he's not only worried about his view, the floats and the ropes and the algae-covered cages that'll be visible at low tide, but the other aspects of oyster farming as well, like the power washing of cages and the trucks that come and go. McCulloch said, quote, this is ridiculous. What if I had to sell my place? Who would want to buy it with all this going on next door? These are not years ago. This is all within the last year. So even though I've experienced his intense opposition to my oyster farm and have witnessed Mr. McCulloch coming before different boards and commissions and on committees opposing oyster aquaculture, I am here to support his application. I really hope that he is sincere, that he really wants to get in the oyster business. I think it would be fantastic for him to be in the oyster business. I just don't understand why he would choose to wrap my entire oyster lease when 120 acres of oyster ground is available that's basically just as close. When you look at the potential for conflict, when there's already been conflict, why would you purposely wrap an oyster lease and be right up against somebody else's oyster lease when you can have your own oyster grounds and not worry about, you know, who's where and what cage is on whose grounds and what current pushed something over on somebody else's and where you're anchoring and where your lines are and where you just don't need that kind of conflict. But I am supporting his and have said so to him and in letters and in emails to Ben Stagg. I'm supporting him getting in the oyster business. I think it's great if that's really what he's doing. But my protest is for those reasons of the potential for conflict, the wrapping around my oyster grounds when there's 120 acres available, and the idea that why would anybody apply for oyster grounds over an existing channel, whether it's your channel or, of course, it's not anybody's channel. Nobody owns the channel. But whether you've paid to dredge the channel or somebody else has paid to dredge the channel, I don't understand even applying for oyster grounds over a channel unless your goal is control. If that's your goal, then you try to do everything. Just wrap it all up tight. Or if your control is to stop somebody else from expanding. If you approve this oyster grounds, I will not have one inch of expansion to the north, south, east, or west of an existing oyster operation, which is relatively small. If you talk to Jack Travelstead, he sent me an email about some of the biggest oyster growers in Virginia, and they were in the 1,000 acres, 2,000 acres, one was 1,900 acres. You know, my little oyster grounds is 10 or 12 acres. I can't remember exactly, but it's 10 or 12 acres. It's very small relative to what you see in other oyster grounds. I've requested a meeting. Why would you not meet? I mean, what harm could possibly come in a meeting? I requested a meeting with Ben Stagg to be present. The first meeting, it was just going to be the two of us, and he canceled the meeting. He then didn't respond when I asked him to reschedule. What's the benefit of that? How could it possibly be beneficial not to try to sit down and talk about it? if your goal is to really grow oysters. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things that I could tell him. I guess he doesn't want to hear it about what our environment is like around our property since I've been a grower there for a couple of 3 years. So he wouldn't meet. He wouldn't meet with, you know, so maybe he wouldn't meet with me. So that's where I brought Ben in, and Ben agreed that he would mediate a meeting, that he would meet with the two of us, and the three of us could meet together. And, of course, that he is asked not to. He would not agree to that and gave his reasons why he wouldn't. If he's really decided to grow oysters, I applaud him. I think it's great. I think I didn't see his logo, but I'm sure it's great. I think it's fantastic. The only thing I'm asking is to not approve the 10 acres that immediately wrap around mine and let him go for any part of that other 120 acres. And again, 12 of the 22 acres that he's applied for, I'm in full support of. And in full support of his operation, if he's going to really do it. Thank you.
Any questions of Mr. Garrett? I see Mr. Palmer's hand, Mr. Plumley, then Mr. Schicklin. Mr. Palmer.
A little while ago, you heard me ask Mr. Stagg a question he couldn't answer about when were you granted your original oyster leases?
There was a gentleman by the name of Russell that owned the house that I currently own two owners ago. And he had the oyster lease. I don't know what he did, if he actually was a grower or not. I know that I have received information from Toga with his name on it.
When did you get it?
But I got it probably
6 years ago.
Well, let me see. I bought the house 6 or 7 years ago, so probably 3 or 4 years, probably 4 years ago.
4 years ago?
Maybe five. Yeah, probably in the 4 to 5 year ago range. Because okay. It wouldn't have been right away.
That's okay.
Yeah.
So you've been there, you've had the lease about 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
How come you never put an application in prior to this to expand that piece of bottom, since you said you've been in oyster?
It's a very good question. I cannot tell you the number of times that I have put in an application for any type of waterfront improvements through the Wetlands Board, the Chesapeake Bay Board, to this committee. Every single application, everything I have ever done, he is, Mr. McCulloch has been here protesting, and I did not want...
Why didn't you put...
But I'm answering the question about the why, though. I did not want to start another fight knowing that he was going to protest it.
And then you said you contacted the people in Yorktown.
I'm sorry, I don't know what. Oh, the Yorktown
refinery.
Yes.
When did you start contacting them about expanding?
Probably the first time, maybe 2 years ago.
So 2 years ago, you were thinking about expanding over to the other side, but you didn't think of expanding right in front of your property.
I thought about expanding in front of my property. Yes, sir, I did. But there were existing oyster grounds that the Yorktown Refinery already had. And so to transfer those oyster grounds to me would have been very simple. But to go here, to go before you guys with one more protest is not what I wanted to do.
Mr. Plumley?
Yeah, I wondered if you were actively harvesting oysters there in that cove directly in front of your property.
Growing, yes. Harvesting, no. So I'm growing the small ones in the cove.
And so you're not I didn't really get a very good explanation, I think, during your testimony about how active you are on the grounds that you currently have and where you're using those grounds.
The oysters that are going to market are coming out of the river, so they're coming out of the north side.
Close to the other lease that we were talking about just now.
Yes, close okay. to the lease. And the east side, or to the right facing that picture, is where we're growing clams currently. And we've experimented with some cages, with some oyster cages there. Assuming that we can make the clam operation work, it's a different type of growing, as you know, that it's using nets. The sand moves around a lot in there. It's called a sandbox. And so we're trying to figure out ways to keep netting over the clams without burying the clams. And so if we can do that, and once we figure that out, then we will continue to wrap around from the east to the south. That's the plan.
Thank you.
Mr. Schick?
How many oysters have you taken to market in the past couple of years?
Oh, of course, it takes, you know, about 18 months to grow them. So we started off with about, the first year I bought maybe 4,000 or 5,000 seed. This last year I bought like 350,000 seed. So we're currently growing, you know, it's hard to estimate the death rate, but we're currently growing between 300,000 and 400,000 oysters.
Okay. Now,
have ordered more seed to, right, to bring that over 1 million.
Okay, and what the ground that you have applied for that's over top of the presently applied? I mean, I understand the idea of what you're talking about. It would be convenient to have it next to your existing lease.
Well, convenient but, and conflict, you know, a whole lot less chance of.
Well, I understand your concern on conflict too. But, you know, these groups that you're talking about who have thousands of acres, you know, they don't adjoin each other. So my question is what advantage, other than convenience and the possibility of not having conflict, is the land that you're applying for have over the 118 acres that are just down the creek a little bit? Is there...
Well, one...
Is there something physical or something, scientific as far as, you know, based and that would help you grow your oysters, that you need the particular plot that you're applying for as opposed to the 119-acre plot?
It's just that this is in sight. If you look at where our house is on the property, that is in sight. So when you look at theft, when you look at, you know, what to do in storms and that type of thing, this is in full sight of our house. And so it makes it much more practical to actually manage because it is a farm. It's not just oyster grounds. That's the biggest thing on that side. If you on the east side of the property.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
Further questions? Thank you, Mr. Garrett. Next protestant, please. Yes, sir. All those who are going to testify in opposition, would you please rise? In opposition, please rise. Raise your right hand. You solemnly swear the testimony provided today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Thank you very much. State your name, please, sir, for the record.
I'm Thomas Nelson, Jr. I live on 220 Church Street in Yorktown, Virginia. I've been know a lot about what Greg has talked about because I've participated in a lot of the meetings. I've been able to observe Mr. McCulloch and determine in my own opinion about him, about what I observed from him. And maybe he's going to start a brand new oyster business. That's the first time I've heard that, other than knowing there's an application out there. Some of the things I've observed at the meetings is the resentment for Mr. Garrett's wanting to expand his operation. He uses his own personal dock and whatnot, and the vehement type rebuttal of him doing that included the sounds from compressors, the smell of oysters from Mr. McCulloch's property, neighborhoods came in support of him saying this was bad for the neighborhood. Yet then when you look at the drawings of the commercial establishment, that wasn't brought up in these hearings. It shows Mr. McCulloch right next to his property has these large buildings, has tractors and compressors and all kind of noise-making things. But he vehemently objected to what was going to be happening if Mr. Garrett expanded his oyster process. And it got so tied up that within the county that the supervisors apparently agreed with him that this was not right for Mr. Garrett to expand his operation, and including a couple supervisors, Mr. Don Wiggins and Mr. Walt Zaremba, who seemed to be, and Mr. Zaremba at some point became visibly angry, I've observed this, to the fact that Mr. Garrett was, in some of the processes that Mr. Garrett took, that he got really mad. Well, it becomes time for the election and these long-term supervisors. that Mr. McCulloch decides that he's going to affect election, because in my opinion, these two supervisors were very important in this, I call it the Hatfield and McCoy situation down there. And so Mr. McCulloch forms a pact, Citizens Against Deception.
Sir, I'm chairing this meeting. Just a minute, please.
Yes,
in all due respect, I need you to keep your testimony tailored to the opposition of the assignment of this oyster ground. What the inner workings of the politics of York County is not the concern of this commission, in all due respect.
Thank
so please keep, and anyone else that testifies, it needs to be in reference to the opposition of this specific assignment. But thank you, sir.
I feel that what I see happening here with wrapping this lease or whatever you call it around it is tied in with the Hatfield and McCoy type of arrangement with neighborhood disagreements. Having followed the oyster resolutions that occurred in the hearings I've heard about, it's obvious to me that, and it should be, I would think, obvious to a lot of people, that this is intentionally trying to secure the oyster beds to prevent the expanding of Mr. Garrett's operation in the future. As we see in the paper, the oyster business is a big business and worthy of expanding. Based on my foreknowledge that I won't be saying today, I see this as a ruse. I see it as literally trying to hem in Mr. Garrett in his operation, and I'm not so believing that there's a credible situation here. Maybe there will be oyster raising, but I think the alternative, Mr. Culloch, is to go whatever direction that is, south, and leave Mr. Garrett to expand his, at some point, his credible oyster operation. So that's where I'll have to leave it based on your comments.
Thank you, sir. Question, Mr. Fox.
Yes. Are you in the oyster business, sir?
I eat oysters, sir. That's about it. I do not raise
them.
Do you
live or work within this area?
I do not, but I'm familiar from just the knowledge of the property. I have not visited there other than using media and whatnot to observe it and to understand it from things I can't talk about. Yes, sir.
Further questions, Mr. Schick?
In your observation of Mr. McCulloch's testimony in other venues about aquaculture, was he against aquaculture in general? Was he against aquaculture being performed on residential property? Or was he against aquaculture being performed on commercial property in residential neighborhoods?
Yes, sir. It's my observation of hearing him. He did not want in the residential area this permitted growing of oysters off the pier. He did not want any vehicle to come past his property because he was in a residential area. So he was objecting to the noises and all that of the business if it ended up on the piers and on the property, that was going to disturb the neighborhood, and apparently a lot of neighbors felt the same way. Yes, sir.
So he was against aquaculture being performed on residential property?
On the pier itself.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Further questions? Thank you, sir. Who's next? Opposition? Yes, sir. Come forward, please. Good afternoon. Could you state your name for the record, please?
Yes, sir. Gentlemen, my name is Robert Duramo. I live in the county, and I've come here to speak both in opposition and in favor of what these guys are doing. I think the agriculture business and the whole concept is wonderful. What we have here, though, is not, I don't believe, in my opinion, an application for agriculture as much as we have a spite easement that they used to call back in the day when you had property. And one of your farmer neighbors didn't like your property, didn't want you to put a Walmart on it, so he owned the first 30 or 40 feet off the road, and that was called a spite easement. Very difficult to break. In this case, it'll be probably impossible to break because the leases, as you know, can be passed on to relatives and whatnot and forever. I am very aware of this issue, more than I've ever wanted to be. I ran for Board of Supervisors in that area. That is the district that I would have been representing, and it's a very, very passionate issue. I understand, and I understand both sides, I believe, and I think they're good-hearted people. I mean, most people are good-hearted people. These two are. I think by drawing in zoning, by drawing in you good people, Virginia Marine Resources, by drawing in other people, it feeds the fire. I think it's something that they should be worked out. I don't think you all should be drawn into this fight, so to speak. I think it's better done in counseling, better done with arbitration, and work out Oyster Grounds. It's not like there's a floor fight for Oyster Grounds until this has come up. So I believe that you'll see that it is a site easement. If you want to approve grounds, I believe Garrett has earmarked 130 acres of grounds that are available. I would just ask you folks to just look at it as more of a, again, a site easement rather than growing oysters, and perhaps table it and until you can look into it a little further.
Thank you, sir. Any questions? Mr. Schick has a question.
Have you heard Mr. McCulloch say that he specifically does not want to do aquaculture?
Yes, sir, many times.
And so you've heard him say that?
Yes, sir.
That he doesn't want to do it?
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Further questions? Thank you, sir. Who's next, please, in opposition? Come forward, sir. Good afternoon, sir. You've been previously sworn. State your name for the record, please.
Cannon, we're on Baytree Beach, about a half mile by water from this area. My initial concern was navigation. The extent of the boundaries to the right of the screen and that channel, I don't think I've ever seen that channel that straight ever. It snakes through there and continually shifts and changes with the tides, and then seasonal changes of the sand. So I use that route regularly going over to Yorktown Beach and over to Gloucester Point where the restaurants to there. So I would ask that boundary be reconsidered and shift over to the west side for any of the permits through there. Or at least to consider those the actual routes or the navigable water through there. I've pulled off several boats that have drifted up on been beached there before as well. But sitting back in the audience, I was thinking to myself, if I was of a mind to stop expanding someone's oyster cultivating project, how these boundaries have been drawn for the applicant is what I would do to stop that. It seems like there's plenty of other space that is contiguous, amenable to oyster cultivation. I really have a suspect that this is a planned to prevent the profitable cultivation of oysters by someone that's already been doing it. That's pretty much what.
Yeah. Questions of the gentleman? Mr. Schick.
Have you specifically heard Mr. McCulloch say that he does not want to perform aquaculture on this property?
No, sir. I've read the articles in the newspapers of with quotes by him, but I've never had any contact with him.
Okay. Thank you.
Further questions? Thank you, sir. Anyone else in opposition? Yes, ma'am. Good afternoon. Could you state your name for the record, please?
Sure. My name is Mary Leadham, and I live in Seaford in York County. It's kind of hard to be here because this is kind of a personal issue. Mr. McCulloch has worked really hard for the last couple of years to stop oyster farming in York County. The vehemence with which he attacked Mr. Garrett resulted in a countywide discourse, neighbor on neighbor. It resulted in the Board of Supervisors initiating zoning ordinances which restricted aquaculture. And Mr. McCulloch stood up in those meetings and supported those ordinances. So I come here, not only in Dandy, but in all of York County, they instituted ordinances to restrict our aquaculture and our watermen's rights, ordinances which we fought back really hard in November and had tabled until March, just so you know where I'm coming from.
I'm familiar with those cases, yes, ma'am.
So I personally question Mr. McCulloch's motive behind this request, and more importantly, his commitment to oyster farming. I personally see this as a hindrance to Mr. Garrett's growing operation and an opportunity for Mr. McCulloch to, further his personal vendetta. In other words, is he really going to farm, or is this just one more spiteful attack? I'm sorry this is so personal, but it's personal for me. I've been very involved in this. I feel like, and this is my opinion, that the VMRC has an obligation to provide areas for oysters and for working farms, and I do not believe that Mr. Culla's heart is in that operation. Thank you for your
questions of the
sure.
Mr. Schick.
Have you heard or read any quotes by Mr. McCulloch that said he does not support aquaculture on commercial property?
Yes. I've been in the meetings. I was in the meeting with Mr. McCulloch and Mr. Garrett when the planning, I stepped through those meetings. I've heard him many times stand up and object to aquaculture in York County, all of York County.
On commercial property.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else in opposition? Good afternoon, sir. State your name for the record, please.
My name is Charles McGee. Go by Chuck. First of all, I am not a waterman. In fact, I'm a come here, as a lot of people call us. I retired from the military, set up a financial planning practice for folks in the area. That is one of the reasons I'm here today. I'm also a member of the Leadership Council for the Virginia Peninsula Chamber of Commerce Leadership Institute. Our current class of leadership students, one of their projects is actually doing an aquaculture oyster project for the bay to set up and help improve the conditions of the bay by doing an aquaculture project. So it's something I strongly support. And that also from a financial standpoint, as everybody knows, our taxes are going up. The federal government has mandated that Virginia helping clean up the bay and given us a nice bill to do that. Aquaculture will help reduce some of those costs as the oysters significantly help clean the bay. So the reason I'm speaking, I didn't think I'd ever be here under these circumstances, staying in front of you, because you have a very difficult choice in front of you today to several conflicting testimonies that you will have to decide the truth on. First, I'm going to go through time-phased list of actions that Mr. McCulloch has taken in opposition to aquaculture. These have been consistent, continuous, and aggressive pattern of opposing large-scale aquaculture production and harvesting in or near his home. Prior to this, he's demonstrated no previous interest in oyster gardening, much less full-scale operations as he's talked about here today. You will have to decide whether this application is just an attempt to prevent usable oyster grounds from being utilized by Mr. Garrett or anybody else for that matter. But as people who are for aquaculture think he needs to demonstrate an earnest desire to use those grounds. So, some of the history. Starting in November 8, 2010, he sent a nine-page letter to the York County Planning Commission saying some of his concerns with aquaculture. And I'll just read a few highlights here. All these documents that I'm going to reference to are in the public domain, and you're welcome to look at any of them. I'll leave them there for your review. The labor, maintenance, and processing that goes hand in hand with such a large-scale oyster growing and harvesting operation has an extremely negative impact on my property, my family, and our right to peacefully enjoy the environment for which we paid so dearly. The scope of this endeavor clearly makes the property's residential use accessory, incidental, and subordinate to its commercial use. Due to the activity required, especially in the summer, our peaceful environment will cease to exist if this application is permitted. That was referencing Mr. Garrett's application to the county for aquaculture special use permit by the county. I hereby go on record as protesting this application and the use of any way of Mr. Garrett's piers or property, particularly in and along the cove, for any commercial activity. In reference to his to the cove area, there are plenty of grounds in the York River where depth, current flow, and space are much more suited to oyster cultivation than is the condemned cove. Initially, my intentions were to have no comment whatsoever because he made his oyster farming sound hobby-like, but this request is of a scope beyond a hobby or any typical home occupation, as therefore envisioned by the county's ordinance.
Mr. McGee, can you tell us, please, why you're opposed to this assignment?
I'm opposed because I think that these grounds will not be used. They will be tied up and not be used for the purpose which they're being applied for. As I've got several documents here that show his great disdain for aquaculture by Mr. Garrett in this area surrounding his property. I just want to make sure that the grounds are used for aquaculture.
Are you familiar with Section 28.2613 of the Code of Virginia? It states specifically that the commission shall not renew or extend an assignment where there has been no significant production of oysters or clams, no reasonable plantings of oysters, clams, or culture, no significant oyster or clam aquaculture operation during any portion of the 10-year period immediately prior to the application for renewal, unless the commission finds that there was good cause for the failure to produce the plant, the oysters, clams, culture, finds that the assignment is directly related to and beneficial to the production of oyster planting grounds immediately adjacent to the assignment. Are you familiar with that code section?
No, sir.
Okay, I just want to apprise you of it in case, because the Commonwealth of Virginia does have a remedy for those individuals. And some of them go in with or ask for assignment and for whatever reason, hardship, money, or whatever, don't cultivate it. So I just want to make sure that you're familiar with the code section in the Commonwealth of Virginia. It does diligently require a oyster plan, oyster results, and a harvest survey to indicate that the grounds were used for the appropriate purpose. So I think, as Commissioner, it's important that I advise you that we do take that responsibility very seriously.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
On November 10th of 2010, he attended a Planning Commission hearing where both he and his wife spoke in opposition of the application. On January 14th through the 17th, 2011, he wrote letters to the James River Journal, the Virginia Pilot, and the Daily Press. To the James River Journal, is there something I can do to facilitate getting some exposure on this statewide issue of aquaculture? A similar letter the article, this is a private residence, not a commercial zone of any kind. On January 21st of 2011, he wrote a three-page email to the residents of Dandy that talked about the negative aspects of the aquaculture that Mr. Garrett was asking for. And then on January 22nd, when Mr. Garrett had a meeting of neighbors and county officials, instead of going to the meeting to attend the meeting and find out what the operation was going to be about, he stood at Mr. Garrett's gate and handed out copies of that letter to the, all the individuals who were attending the meeting. On January 25th, 2011, wrote an email to residents of Dandy, to the county commissioners. Obtrusive commercial operations disrupting our peace and rights as property owners in this residential zone. On February 16th of 2011, he attended a hearing in the House of Delegates on agriculture, the Chesapeake Natural Resources, to speak against SB 1190, which we've heard talked about before, which was to equate or to add aquaculture in the Virginia agriculture regulations. Mr. McCulloch was one of those there against that regulation.
Were you there at that hearing?
I was not, sir.
How do you know he wasn't there? How do you know he was not there?
I do not know for a fact.
You've been sworn to tell the truth under the oath, and you're asserting the fact that the man was not at the meeting.
No, sir. I said that he was at the meeting.
He was at the meeting.
Yes, sir.
Correct. How do you know that he was or was not? How do you have personal knowledge, sir, that he was or was not at that meeting?
Sir, that one I do not know.
Mr. McGee, for the record, this commission understands your opposition or your articulated opposition or indicated opposition to Mr. McCulloch as far as he's concerned to aquaculture. Would you please, within the next 3 minutes, wrap up your presentation as to why you believe this present or this assignment should not be made?
Yes, sir. Mr. McCulloch recently stated when he was up here that he started thinking seriously about aquaculture in April of 2011. However, in July 2011, he wrote other emails to the board of your county stating his opposition to aquaculture. On August...
Yes, sir, Mr. Schick.
Was that opposition to aquaculture or opposition to Mr. Garrett's operating aquaculture in a residential zone?
To quote, surely full-scale commercial farming in Dandy and Seaford and in other RR areas is not the intent of that zoning ordinance. However, with no separate agricultural zone specifically delineated in our ordinance, it makes for a potentially troubling situation no matter the AG's position. It sure seems that straightforward to me, but I will ask anyway, will the board amend or clarify your county code so that a technical legal loophole does not become an end-around county authority and otherwise well-intended flexible zoning ordinances?
So it does not say he's against aquaculture. It says that he's against aquaculture in a residential zone. Is that correct?
Correct.
And that's basically what you've been standing up here saying all of these statements are for.
Yes.
Yes. So it's your testimony here that you have never heard him say he is opposed to aquaculture in any form?
Just not in any form, right. Just not in residential areas.
In a residential area. Okay.
You have 2 minutes to wrap up, sir.
I have further documents going all the way through September saying his opposition to residential aquaculture. With a final one, in October of 2011, either choose to protect residential zoning above all else, be it oysters, chickens, livestock, junk, or politics, or choose to give in to the constant drumming of this man and diminish our own rights to the peaceful enjoyment and growth of investments we make in our homes. Those are My point is that while he testified, he began considering strongly to do his own commercial aquaculture in April of last year. Through the end of the year, and in December, I personally heard him speak against aquaculture in the residential areas at the York County Board meeting. So his testimony versus what I can read in the public record and what I've heard personally do not match.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Commissioner, I have one
question. Mr. Plumley has a question. Yes, sir.
Mr. McGee, you testified that there was an SUP application, a special use permit application on behalf of Mr. Garrett. Was that approved for Mr. Garrett?
No, sir. It was not.
It was denied. Thank you.
Further questions? Thank you, sir. Anyone else here in opposition to this project? Seeing none, Mr. McCulloch, you have 3 minutes to rebut. And you are on the clock, sir.
I started by saying all my opposition was based on what the rule of law is. The zoning ordinance, table of land use ordinance, that's all I've ever been against. My change last April was because the grounds right off of my commercial property and, frankly, my residential property as well, the condemnations were lifted. Prior to that, all that area, the basin, immediately adjacent, it was all condemned, if not completely, then seasonally condemned. In fact, there's still signs, one on Mr. Garrett's Nature Island to the east, and the other immediately to the south of the channel going out from my basin, still condemnation signs there, though those condemnations now are not in place. That's the importance of me having all of this ground so that I have a chance to relay if and when those condemnations come back, which may be likely. If I was doing this as an easement, whatever the term was that was used to keep him from doing it, I could have done this years ago. I mean, if that was my only goal, was to go keep Mr. Garrett from being able to expand, I could have done this a long time ago. When I found out I had an opportunity to do this, everything I've learned through the SB 1190 panel, everything I've learned by traveling around the bay, going to places like Cowart's over the Eastern Shore, talking and seeing other operators, watching oysters clean dirty water, little baby oysters, dirty water coming in one side of a flupsy or an upweller and going out clean, I mean, I'm there, and I'm going to do it to make money. I'm glad they cleaned the bay. I'm glad to clean the water, but I'm not going to sit here and lie to you that I'm doing it for any other reason other than commercial. I have commercial property. I've got the perfect site. I've got the perfect waters. That's why I'm here. And I'm well aware that, you know, people do things like they build duck blinds that they never hunt out of just to keep other hunters from hunting around their duck blinds. That's not what this is about. I could have done that a long time ago. Really all I've got to say. I've never said I'm against aquaculture in any form except with regard to zoning.
Any questions, follow up to the rebuttal? They're seeing none. Thank you, Mr. McCulloch. Matters before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question of Mr. Stagg, if I may, and it relates back to the channel. Ben, I think when you went through the presentation, you indicated that under existing regulations, they wouldn't be able to put cages in that navigational channel per se. Is that correct?
Correct. The regulation basically says that they have to be a minimal impedance to navigation. So obviously, if cages were put that impeded people from being able to use that channel,
okay,
we would have law enforcement out there checking that. Related to the channel, I'd like to clarify something that one of the protestants raised about this drawing. If you look in your packet at the actual plat that we surveyed, and I apologize if I didn't have a picture of that in the presentation, but we did stay off this channel further than the line appears here. This is the application line.
Oh, yeah.
If you look at the survey, you'll see that it actually angles in to this sandbar more and then goes to this corner. I think and the channel is on the plat, the current alignment of the channel. So we did try to stay away from that area, particularly right in here, that there is shoaling, and it does move around a little bit. So we did try to address that when we surveyed it. And Mr. Garrett has had his lease since 2005, April of 2005.
Further questions of Mr. Stagg? Thank you. Further questions of the commission? Matters before the commission for action and discussion. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, first of all, the commission is certainly not in a position to resolve any of the interpersonal differences that may be occurring between the applicants and protestants. Having said that, you know, what we can rely on is obviously the code that's before us, and specifically, as staff has pointed out, the way the code's set up, it's written so that open grounds are available to the first applicant that makes application. And so we have a case where an application was considered that's timely. We heard extensive opposition that essentially focused on the intent of the applicant. But having said that, the applicants offered sworn testimony with respect to their intent, with respect to their plans to develop a caged aquaculture operation. And you know, frankly, as the commissioners pointed out, I think the Commonwealth does have a remedy in the event that the applicant were to make application and never utilize the ground. There is a provision within the renewal of the lease whereby if the applicant hasn't made use of the lease or effectively cultivated oysters there, then the commission has a remedy to not renew the application. But again, we've heard, I think, considerable detailed sworn testimony with respect to the plans that the applicant has. And I think at the end of the day that those are compelling.
Further comments, Mr. Plumlee?
Well, I looked into the code for the qualification for an applicant, and it's simply that they're a resident of the Commonwealth or a company registered in the Commonwealth. I don't think it requires interrogation about intent of the use of the lease. I understand people want to come forward and say he's opposed this, he's opposed that, but I think in looking at the operation Mr. Garrett's had, he's had opportunities to expand in other locations. He's not been able to. I'm not sure, since he has no commercial property nearby, he has the capacity to expand at great levels. And obviously, if you're going to go to the trouble of paying the rent, of surveying, if you are eligible under the code, it's 28.2604. It just requires that you're a resident of the Commonwealth, not that you come before us and prove to us that you have the greatest desire to oyster above and beyond everyone else that applies. That would be a very difficult position to place the board in to determine who really wants to oyster and who doesn't. As the commissioner has said, we have a way of determining whether to renew based on the activity that took place up until the renewal period. So,
further comment, Mr. Schick?
Certainly, the commission doesn't want to promote in any way having a situation where people can lease grounds to control them, not to oyster them. Code doesn't provide for that. It's very specific of the intent has to be there to produce oysters. And we have heard that testimony here, talking about broodstock, talking about market, talking about plans and for construction of the cages and a commercial site to be able to do that in waterfront. So I think it definitely fits all the criteria to lease. Also, the code is very clear about looking at the first applicant, and the code does not provide us an avenue to not give a lease to somebody because of the wishes of an adjacent oyster grounds holder. There are other free oyster grounds in the area, and if the expansion needs to be done, there are plenty of oyster grounds available. So this commission is not going to be in a situation where it's stopping any other oyster leaseholder to expand. It may not be adjacent to theirs, but there are other property. So
nearby.
Yeah, nearby. And so I'd like to move to approve the oyster lease as suggested by staff.
Is there a second to the motion? Second by Mr. Robbins. Further discussion by members of the commission? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.